Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Jay Williams making bold predictions on the Rockets on the TV in here, Seth. Jay Williams predicting the Rockets are going to wind up the 2 seed in the Western Conference.
There you go, Jay Williams.
There you go, Jay Williams. You well, go get you some.
This is the interesting thing about the Rockets and their small ball. Yeah. And this is where I would say you could take this as a positive or a negative. A lot of people who want to say that, this is an experiment that won't work, still concede that in the course of the regular season, when teams are kind of in their rhythm and going on, they're playing this team, that team, then all of a sudden the Rockets come into town and they're playing a peculiar version of basketball that's just no center, all small all the time.
Yeah.
And you've also, by the way, got Russell Westbrook and James Harden on that team. It's hard to beat that team. So that in the regular season, they're going to roll on through and truck through a lot of teams. Where the rubber meets the road is in the postseason. This is where that's where the experiment begins. If the Rockets can stay healthy, and mind you, they have three of the top 14 minutes getters. They have three guys who are in the top 14 in minutes played so far this season. So between PJ Tucker, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden, they're running high RPMs. But yeah, when you get to the playoffs and a team gets to see you and maybe gets into a rhythm and figures out what you're doing or can monkey around with their lineups and experiment, how does it work then?
Yeah, I think when the small ball lineup was unveiled, a lot of the experts, quote-unquote experts, were looking at it from the disadvantageous side of the Rockets, which is, boy, how are they going to deal with teams that have height? Ignoring the fact that I think you have to ask a similar question, how are some of these teams going to deal with the Rockets throwing seven or eight athletes at you? You know, just guys that are super, super athletic, that are spreading the floor, that are opening it up for Russell Westbrook to attack the rim and things like that. So it should be fun. Rockets back in action tonight in Golden State against the Golden State Warriors. Tyrann Mathieu, all-pro safety, former Texan, Super Bowl champion with the Kansas City Chiefs, was on the At Home with Linda and Drew Scott podcast. And he had this to say about the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think, you know, really playing under Coach Reed, you know, a lot of people have him locked in to make the Hall of Fame, and especially after we just won the Super Bowl. But even me coming to Kansas City, I felt like he made it feel like a family atmosphere, right? He made everybody feel like they were a part of it. And I could feel that even as a recruit, you know, being recruited by these people. And once I got in the building, it was the same thing. You know, I think from top to bottom, man, they make it feel like family. And I think it's kind of understated. You know, you're dealing with a lot of alpha males and, you know, you expect them to come to work and be ready to work. But I think if you're able to create a certain environment for these players, I think you're able to get the best out of them, man. I think family environments tend to get the best out of, you know, alpha males and different guys like that.
Seth, have you ever played in something that you would categorize as a family atmosphere in the NFL?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. No. No. I think you hear stories about it, and there's certain coaches that kind of create that environment. But I don't think it's not one of those things that it's so funny. After every Super Bowl victory, all of a sudden that coach's methodology is the only way to get it done. That, you know?
Well, and I feel like too when teams get it done, they all of a sudden they reverse engineer this family atmosphere.
It feels a lot more
family. Of course,
family,
it feels like everybody's happy.
Everybody's,
you know,
winning and happy all the time. Right. Now they had some adversity with the Chiefs this year, but yeah, I totally get it. I think with older coaches, who aren't Tom Coughlin, it tends to feel that way. Think about Dick Vermeil. When Dick Vermeil was with the Eagles, that was not a family-like environment.
Right.
But when Dick Vermeil got old and then he's with the Rams, they were also successful. But it felt a lot more like a family environment.
Yeah.
So I don't think Tyrann Mathieu was trying to make any statements there or claims or anything. It's just you can do it multiple different ways.
So
you know, remember when the Eagles won their Super Bowl and Lane Johnson was acting like, why would anybody ever want to go play for
I'd
the
rather
Patriots?
Win one Super Bowl like this than win six being angry and miserable all the time.
Jonesy, how is that comment aged with Philadelphia Eagles fans? Is there a part of them that are like, oh, wow, Lane, you sure do miss a lot of games for talking about everything, wanting to be all happy all the time?
You win a Super Bowl, you're excused.
Yeah, I guess so.
So Lane's excused? Okay.
Lane gets more passes than maybe any other football player I've ever seen.
Because he's darn good.
Yeah, when he's around, yeah, he's darn good. When he's not suspended for steroids multiple
times. Yeah, how many steroid suspensions has he had?
Two.
You ain't cheating. You ain't trying.
I know the next one. Yeah, Eagles fans are looking at this baseball scandal. They're like, what? What?
What's going on? Exactly.
Did they get caught twice? No, just once. Huh.
Anytime that I see a former Texan say something about the new place that they're in, you know, it happened with Clowney, obviously. Now, Clowney was much more direct about how things went at the end with the Texans. I mean, he literally told the stories about how things went, where he got called into the building and Bill O'Brien was trying to sell him on why going to the Dolphins would be a great thing for him.
Yeah.
And Clowney, to his credit, sniffed that out.
Hey, we can't talk to him until he reports and signs his tender.
Right, right.
Well, all we want to do is chat with him. Like, yeah. No, you want to trade him.
You want him to sign off on getting traded to one of the worst teams in football.
That was another example of, I've long told you that offensive coaches sometimes are guilty of thinking defensive players are dumber than they are. That was the ultimate example of it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we'll fool him into coming in, signing the tender, then we'll trade his ass to Miami.
Then all we have to do is tell him how good it'll be for him, and he'll agree.
That'll be an awesome situation for you. And now what is Clowney? Clowney was promised free agency after right. 1 year in Seattle. Yeah.
There's people that still think Clowney's going to get a monster deal.
He's such a unique individual mm-hmm. in that he kind of breaks the mold in terms of guys that can win pass rush and get pressure on the quarterback, yet just don't seem to have a knack for actually getting the quarterback on the ground.
One of the things that Barnwell posed in his piece that you and I talked about earlier, but for the Cowboys,
yeah.
was he didn't say make this one of their five moves, but he did say, you know, to kind of refortify the defensive line around DeMarcus Lawrence. And he alluded at the end, he's like, maybe they even go with the too expensive edge rusher approach and sign Jadeveon Clowney. Could you imagine Clowney signing with the Cowboys?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where the Cowboys are going to get money to do all this stuff. They've been paying a bunch of guys.
It's like the cap's expanding. Yeah. If they get a new CBA, I mean, that's the thing that'll help with if they get a new collective bargaining agreement that helps teams is that right now you can't push money off into the future like you usually can because there's no CBA to push it off into.
Oh, really?
So once they get the new deal done, then even if the cap doesn't go up immediately, you can still push. You can push backloaded contracts off into the future. You can do what the Saints have done with Drew Brees forever.
Yeah,
like the Saints are going to be. It's going to be a little tricky with Drew Brees re-signing with the Saints. I know a lot of people act like, oh, well, he's coming back, so he'll be with the Saints. Remember that almost every time that Drew Brees works a new contract with the Saints, it gets a little bit dicey, and he's not afraid to sit out and make things uncomfortable for him.
I got to thinking when I heard Tyrann Mathieu's comments, what type of family atmosphere he experienced with the Texans here.
Yeah.
With O'Brien.
Well, I think
O'Brien doesn't seem as merry as Andy Reid.
I can't figure out. I think O'Brien is like a – I think he's probably – he creates kind of a family environment, and he just with explosions, which is really the most like a family environment, is it not?
It's the most authentic.
He's like the father that like, hey, we're a family, but every now and then I'm going to flip out
on you. Sounds like Mathieu's playing for the Cleavers up in Kansas City, like some just a bunch of picket fences and flowers. And
I think Steve Spagnuolo is a pretty laid back guy as far as football coaches go. I've talked to Steve Spagnuolo a couple times, and he's one of these guys got a youthful vibe about him, and he's probably 50 something by now, but he feels young, and he probably comes across that way to the players. And then you have Andy Reid at the top. I think with the Texans and Tyrann Mathieu's experience here, he had Romeo Crennel, who's just like a pleasant old grandpa coaching.
I feel like O'Brien's family is like the Soprano family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Tony had a very volatile temper, but then you had, I don't know who Rack would be, who the sort of the calming. Rack might be Silvio, sort of the, you know, calming, doesn't explode, although Silvio had his moments.
Who's AJ on the Texans? Who's like the kid that's kind of a disappointment because he's a wimp and like...
Kiki QT.
He's never... As a father,
Kiki QT is AJ Soprano.
He's at the club pretending he's a gangster.
pretending he's a gangster. He's in the doghouse all the time.
who's Meadow then? Meadow's the one that denies there's anything. Meadow would be... You know who Meadow would be?
Who?
Deshaun. Because Deshaun is the one that speaks glowingly of Bill O'Brien and how much he loves him.
Yeah.
Meadow refused to believe that her father could ever be involved in anything as awful as the mob. The mob doesn't even exist in
Meadow's
mind.
Very smart and successful.
Yeah.
Attractive.
I feel like
Meadow
was going to do well even if she hadn't been born into a wealthy family.
Right.
And it was almost pulled down by her monstrous father.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit like Deshaun.
Is Easterby Carmelo Soprano?
Easterby's a narc of some sort. Easterby's he's big pussy. Is big pussy the one that got?
Yeah. He got. Yeah. There wound up being a few narcs. The name Seth is saying there is a nickname for a person on the show.
Yeah.
Just so people know.
Like Pussycat. Like his name was Big Pussy.
Because he was a cat burglar. That was his big thing. That's why they called him.
Oh, really?
That was his superhero
that
power.
That fat bastard?
Yeah.
He was a cat burglar.
At one time.
What
I don't
happened?
I don't know. Business was good. He ate a lot of Satrials and Vesuvios.
What kind of burglar he was? He wasn't a cat burglar, whatever kind of burglar he was.
That's why they named
him. He
was
a big furry bear burglar.
Maybe he was thinner at one point. Maybe he probably got the nickname, you know, back when he was 100 pounds lighter.
So who would the, Easterby would be, wasn't there
Uncle Junior?
Wasn't there a good-looking priest that tried to do it with Tony's wife?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how good-looking he was, but Father Intintola.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't want to make him Father Intintola.
No, he's not Father Intintola.
No.
But that was the one religious guy I could think of on the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.